Moses Chapel, March 19, 1986. Well, renewal week services. Speakers: Dr. Mahan Seiler, Pastor Pullen Memorial Baptist Church, Raleigh.
Stand for our call to worship. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Take your insert, and the choir is going to sing the first line, and you repeat the first line. We'll sing the second line, you the second, etc. After we've done the whole song that way, we'll sing it together through once as well.
Help me start over. There is much that is happening among us, concerns and celebrations that draw us together in spirit as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us unite one with another at the foot of the cross and lay there our burdens. Let us pray. Pray for our sister, Jolo Ferguson, who is still in Wake Medical Center. Lift up to God Jackie and Tim Allen, as Jackie will be entering the hospital next week for surgery. Remember Tom McKibbins and his mother, Mrs. Thomas R. McKibbins, Sr., as she is in the hospital in Laurel, Mississippi with a broken hip. Remember also Bill Spangler and his father. Bill's father is in critical but stable condition in a Maryland hospital after a heart attack. Remember also Ray Wickham and Ray's grandfather, who had a stroke and is quite ill. Pray now for yourself and for the close-knit family of friends that is your community. The burdens are many and varied, and our Heavenly Father knows them all. There is pain and stress among us. Pray for those brothers and sisters who have concerns that you know not about. Give thanks to God for the constant reminder that life is worth continuing in the gift of new life. Let us celebrate with Tony and Jan Cartledge in the birth of their daughter, Bethany Rush. Oh God, create in us a pure heart and hear our prayers as we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Grant a right spirit within us in this moment of worship and on this campus day by day, that we might truly be renewed and experience the joy of our salvation. Amen.
One of the privileges that comes to me as the pastor of a fairly nearby church is the chance to be in ministry with some from the community of the seminary and to do some occasional teaching here. And that has been added, that privilege has been expanded by the chance for me to be with you in these three worship experiences. And I'm always struck with how the burdens, the problems of those of us in theological education are just usually beyond our grasp, and how diverse and conflicting the pressures can be. It's my hope that we are free enough from the pressures upon us this day to provide the space in this time of worship for the renewal of our hearts. The passage listed there is one that I will refer to, but I'd like to read another one. This is that watershed passage in Matthew, where it seems Jesus and his disciples have withdrawn for a sort of retreat, reflection time in Caesarea Philippi. And it's there, you remember, that Simon Peter is given the insight that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Messiah. And you have the beginning of his road to Golgotha. He sets his face toward Jerusalem. I'd like to read from that section. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance, for you are not on the side of God, but on the side of people. And then Jesus told his disciples, if any would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me. For those who would save their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives for my sake will find them. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. According to a Greek legend, a woman went down to the river to die and to be transported across to the other side, the region of departed spirits. And the one who was to take her across told her of a spring nearby that she had the privilege to drink from that would erase all the memories of her past life. And her face brightened up and she said, you mean I could forget all my sufferings? Yes, he said, but you would also have erased all your joys. But she says, I could forget all the failures of my life. Yes, but all your successes. But I could forget those who I didn't like, who didn't like me. And he said, yes, but you would not remember those you love and those who loved you. She pondered and thought and decided not to drink from the spring. Well, we can't blame her, can we? First, there's that part of us, like the woman, who would love to have the joy without the sorrow, would love to have the pleasure without the pain. When I think of it, I get amused at an advertisement from Sears years ago, advertising stingless bees. Now, if I were going to keep bees, I would want stingless bees. But how contemporary that sounds to me, to want the honey of life without the risk of being stung. Is there a more unpopular word in our day, our phrase, our concept, than self-sacrifice? And I suspect it's a rather uncomfortable concept for us in ministry as well. I asked Garland Hendricks some months ago, that would he generalize about his experience with many generations of students here at Southeastern? And I said, what trends, what would you say? And one of the things he said in essence was, there seems to be a shift from valuing self-sacrifice to self-fulfillment. Now I think the idea of self-fulfillment has a lot of positives to it. We all cannot help but be influenced by the movement of the last 15, 20 years around self-actualization, the awareness that we have potentials and gifts that can be realized in the service of God, and that we do give attention to the care of ourselves and our potential and our family as well as the care of others. But I think we're left with some ambivalence and ambiguity around the whole idea of self-sacrifice. But when we take this road to Golgotha again, we trip over the whole idea of radical self-giving and suffering love. And we confirm what Paul said, it is indeed, the cross is a stumbling block. Jesus, in that time away, saw Calvary coming as he went toward Jerusalem. And as I just read, he included in his thinking that to be a disciple is to deny ourselves, take up a cross, and follow him. Now, you know that the kind of suffering this passage is referring to is the kind that we take up. It's not the kind that takes us up. It's not the kind we've just been referring to mostly in the prayer led by Donna. The kind of anguish and grief and illness that is placed upon us by life in unequal portions. That's important. The gospel speaks to that kind of pain. But the kind referred to in this passage is the kind we intentionally open ourselves up to in the following of Jesus. That kind of self-giving sacrifice. And this morning, I would like for us to lift out one piece of that calling and to think and ponder and get our minds and hearts around the relationship between joy and self-sacrifice. Our culture assumes maximum joy with minimum pain. But this way of Golgotha speaks of a maximum joy with maximum sacrifice or self-giving. And my text comes from the writer of Hebrews when he looks back and reflects on the way of Golgotha and has that interesting sentence, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Implying that joy and the cross are not polar opposites. They somehow are intermeshed and intertwined. That's what I want us to return to as a thought this morning. You know, this may help explain one of the difficult sayings of Jesus. You remember when he had become so weary from the night of ridicule and beating that he couldn't carry his own cross all the way. So Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service to carry the cross. And the crowd was all around. The crowd, no doubt, staring out of curiosity, some ridiculing, but evidently some were weeping. And Jesus turned and said one of the hard sayings. He said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Now, what I suspect he meant, could be off, is that Jesus was saying, "Don't weep for me, daughters of Jerusalem. It's true, I am weary unto death. I'm in anguish. I'm in pain. I am suffering." That's true. But in the pain, there is the joy of counting for a purpose far beyond who I am. That in the pain, there is the joy of feeling passion and compassion. There's the joy of surrender to the highest power. That in the pain there is the joy of integrity, the joy of nonviolently resisting the violence of political and religious and military coercion. There is the joy of painfully being alive. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves, those who of you playing it safe along the sidelines, believing that you can know the joy of life without much pain and sacrifice. That's at least what Norman Cousins was getting to when he said that the tragedy of life is not what happens to a person's name. It's not even in the fact of death itself. The tragedy of life is what dies inside of a person while he or she lives. The death of genuine feeling. The death of inspired response. The death of the awareness that makes it possible to feel the pain or the glory of another in one's self. That's who we weep for, those who are living dead, bored to death. We weep for those who know not the pain of loving and the sacrifice of following. That real sorrow belongs to those paralyzed by caution and seduced by false security and anesthetized by comfort. We weep for them. Have you noticed that those persons, special persons who give a lot, who sacrificially give of who they are and what they have, that when you call attention to that, they are surprised, probably embarrassed, because they're much more in touch most of the time with the promise, not the pain, the joy, and not the sacrifice. That thought came to me when I experienced Bishop Tutu about 6 weeks ago, I guess. Bishop Tutu, that courageous Christian leader in South Africa, you know, was on a visit to this country, and some speculated it could be his last, because he's something of a marked man on collision course with that South African government, and he could be a candidate for martyrdom. But when he came to Duke Chapel, what stood out was the radiance and the joy of this man. What stood out in his message was joy. And I wondered, where did it come from? Was it the joy of that Christian community? Was it the joy of feeling clear about what it meant to be a servant of God? But it was joy. And you think of others, Teresa of Calcutta, Martin Luther King, many others, but probably more important, think of people that are not known for their sacrifice, but you know them. And I'll bet you there are persons much more aware of the joy of their service than you are aware maybe of what they give up. And so maybe the major point of this season and of this way of Golgotha should not be the ashes of pain or the cost and the cross of sacrifice. That's there. Maybe the deeper point is joy. That the Christ who calls us to deny ourselves and take up crosses is calling us to fullness of life, calling us to purposes worth living and dying for. And that the way of the cross is costly, and we must not sentimentalize it. It is, and it's painful at times, and at times the anguish clouds out the sense of joy. But fundamentally, the way of the cross is the way of life-giving. It's a way to give life, not just to others, but to ourselves. A member of Pullen wrote recently a phrase that stuck. She wrote that maybe peace is not possible, at least in our immediate time, speaking of world peace. But the pursuit of peace, in the pursuit of peace, there is joy. Perhaps shalom is not something we can see happening in a worldwide dimension. The paranoia, the fear choices seem to be on the rise. Divisions are everywhere, and we can easily despair, those of us who hunger for shalom. But in the specific, risk-taking, self-denying commitment to the Prince of Peace to be a part, be a peacemaker in some small way, in that, there is peace, there is joy. And we weep not for those of us who know that. We weep for those of us who do not. The kind of loving, learning community at Southeastern may not be possible. The challenge of providing a place where differences are respected, where concern flows in every way, is beyond our reach, and we can despair. But in a specific, risk-taking, self-denying commitment to our life together in Christ in this place, there is joy. And we weep not for those who know that. We weep for those of us who don't. The elimination of hunger in this world may not be possible, even though they tell us that there are resources adequate. And we get overwhelmed as living out on the street becomes acceptable more and more, that a person not having adequate food or shelter or clothing becomes somehow acceptable in our world. And we despair. But in a specific, risk-taking, self-denying commitment to feed the hungry, there is joy. And we weep not for those of us who know that. We weep for those who don't. It may not be possible to present in compelling and convincing ways the aliveness of the gospel in our day. The barriers within and between us and around us are enormous. And we are frustrated at being instruments of such good news. But in a specific, risk-taking, self-denying commitment to study and struggle with what the gospel means in our day, there is joy. And we weep not for those of us who know that, we weep for those of us who do not. It may not be possible to have that love relationship you so desire with that special person or two. The challenge of being open and vulnerable and willingness to change far exceeds our ability to do it. And there's so much more we want in such intimacy. But in a specific, risk-taking, self-denying commitment to learn to love another, there is joy. And we weep not for those who know that. We weep for those who don't. Are you in on the secret that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross? Amen.
For joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be.